This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five 6 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And, you know, it's been kind of, we've been talking about public holidays quite a bit lately. Mm-hmm. We, as I kind of PSA'd, there is a bunch of them coming up in September as well.
Almost every Monday in September is a public holiday.
Our country is a gift that keeps
on
giving.
We're so lucky to be Malaysians.
And with that, however, comes the issue of home security and safety. So for our first story, we're actually going to be looking at the best ways to keep our valuables safe at home. Because when you think about the best places to hide jewelry or cash or, you know, other valuable things, sometimes the hiding spots that come to mind might be things like a safe or, you know, deep inside a drawer. But apparently, these are not the best hiding places.
Yeah, because those are apparently the first places that burglars go to once they've broken into your house. This is according to ex-offenders who spoke to the departmental store chain, John Lewis, and the St. Giles Trust Charity.
Yeah, and the places that they suggest to hide your stuff is, you just never think about these places. So apparently the best places are things like cereal boxes, because burglars just won't bother to go through all of your food packets. And also storage for children's toys, because apparently there's an unwritten rule to not enter kids' rooms.
Let us remind you at this point that this came from a British article. It's a UK article. I don't know if the same rules apply here, and I somewhat doubt it. But the idea of cereal boxes and things like that I thought was pretty interesting. Per the article, another suggestion were DVD boxes.
DVD cases, yeah.
Yeah, because again, people just don't care about stealing DVDs.
And yeah, because the things that the burglars look for are the small, very valuable stuff like jewelry, credit cards,
anything that can just sneak off easily, like laptops, for example.
Yeah, so that's why you can hide them in cereal boxes or in DVD cases. And yeah, it just shows that, you know, you got to be creative when hiding your valuable stuff.
I think it also shows that there is absolute value in thinking like a burglar, because in this case, they actually asked former burglars, right? People who have had this experience, and that's what they come back with. And have you guys actually, I mean, are you kind of the cash in shoebox under the bed kind of people, or do you just not keep valuables at home?
I shan't share that information on air.
Oh, I see. How fancy.
But I would say that I do commit fully to the cashless concept. So none of my cash is at home.
Oh, everything is in like a glass jar on the kitchen counter. My life savings, EPF account, all included. I'm kidding, but it's sometimes it's in jackets or like pockets that I just forget. And then when I go out and wear those items, I just wonder why it feels a bit thicker than usual. Oh, turns out I have some spare cash hanging around in that pocket I forgot about.
So I'm somebody who has had my home burgled before.
I should say had with the jackets thing anyway.
So I've had my home burgled before, and I've seen kind of the aftermath of it, right? Like you can actually trace these people. I'm fine saying these people. I normally don't like using the phrase because it sounds very demonizing, but in this case, you robbed me, so these people it is. But you can actually trace the steps that they took through your home. And the living room was relatively untouched. The TVs were left. The kitchen was just untouched. On the other hand, the upstairs, the bedrooms were just complete messes. Everything, like literally every drawer had been taken out and upturned. And our pillowcases were missing because apparently they used the pillowcases to carry your stuff out, which is insult upon injury. So with that in mind, I do think that if I had kept my foreign currency in cereal boxes, it would have gone untouched. That would have been a great hiding spot.
It's also, I guess, surprising, right? The kinds of things to me that they do think about stealing. It's not the obvious, oh, that looks like an expensive product, I'll take it. But it's also, and this is what the article mentions as well, they take things that contains any amount of identity attached to them. So passports, so ICs, driver's licenses, because that is very high. That has a lot of market value in the black market.
Especially our passports, actually. Yeah. The Malaysian passport is a surprisingly valuable one. So, just a bunch of things to consider. You know, do you hide your valuables at home? Are you, like Ayman, refusing to share where they might be for fear of, you know, telling people, really? But what are your tips and tricks to keep your house safe? What are the things that you have done? Do you, like me, hide money in books and then forget which books? Call us at 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Associate Professor Dr. Gashina Ayu Matsat. So stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers, BFM 89.9.
It's just about 5:13 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we're talking about home safety today because an article that came out of The Guardian basically interviewed former burglars, and they said it's best to keep your things in, like, say, cereal boxes, DVD boxes, as opposed to the usual suspects of, you know, the underwear drawer and things like that. So we're trying to open it up and just see what are some tips and tricks to do with home safety that we might not have considered. If you'd like to share, you can call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now, we have on the line Associate Professor Dr. Gashina Ayu Matsat. She's a forensic science lecturer at University Science Malaysia. Dr. Gashina, thanks so much for joining us today. Do we know of any common patterns for burglaries and robberies in terms of how they break in, what they take, where they look, and so on?
Okay, now, when we talk about common patterns for burglaries and robberies, the MO differs. This is according to the interests of the burglars and robbers themselves. Some will only steal things that they have, that they think have immediate value, like money. That's pretty common. Others will also target things that they can be that they can quickly pawn or exchange for cash. For example, jewelry, electrical gadgets, toasters even become a target if they think they can make use of it. In my team's past research, the acronym VIVA and CRAVE can be used in profiling stolen property. VIVA, V is value, I is inertia, the second V is for visibility, and A for access. So when you have items in the home or even in the workplace that has some value, not necessarily to the house owners or even the business owners, but the value is on the viewpoint of the perpetrators. Inertia, it can be carried around. It is stable, it's stationary, but it's not tied down to the property. Visibility, people can immediately see where it is and which buildings or houses that are accessible. Other than VIVA, you have the acronym CRAVE: concealable, removable, available, valuable, enjoyable, and disposable. Some people who commit burglaries and robberies, they do it because they enjoy it. It gives them a sense of power, a sense of control over others. So they enjoy going and breaking into homes. So whatever they find in the home is for the enjoyment. In some cases, we have found that the robbers would also go into the kitchen and steal food, eat the food there, in fact. Drug addicts usually target money and items that can be easily carried and taken away with minimal effort. Gang robbers will target not only anything that can be removed on site, but also may threaten or harm house or property owners. There is one case that I'm aware of that as long as there's a female in the house, he will not only commit a robbery, but he will also rape that woman, regardless of how old she is. As to where on the property they will look, factors like time, effort, feelings of safety, a feeling that they can successfully commit the crime are taken into consideration. So a lot of factors come into play.
Is there a difference between burglaries and robberies?
Well, no. It is not uncommon, really, for people to use the terms burglary and robbery interchangeably. However, they are very different, and the police views it differently. While both are definitely theft, the key difference between the two is that in a robbery, a victim must be present and robbed of something valuable, and how they get the valuable object is by way of intimidation, sometimes force, sometimes only threat. Two important factors that the courts take into consideration during robbery was whether or not the robbery was completed. In other words, something was definitely taken away, and whether there was injury to the victims. Burglaries, on the other hand, are often done without the victim being present. So this is like a home break-in. During the day when nobody's at home. Today's definition of burglary, however, has expanded to include unlawful entering of any structure. So it can be home, it can be workplace, at any time of day, and there's a clear intent to steal property. So burglaries do not require forcible entry. It can be a the possibility is that the burglar just walks in into an unlocked door. That's also possible. How we determine whether theft is, what type of theft it is actually dependent on the value of items stolen. So the categorization that we use in criminology is petty theft. This covers value of item less than 1,000 ringgit. So because these items are of less value, petty first-time offenses are usually charged at a lower sentencing than more serious criminals or career criminals. We have also known as grand theft, which refers to anything stolen above the 1,000 ringgit threshold. The third category is financial theft, which are tangible as well as intangible thefts, and it will involve embezzlement, insurance fraud, forgery, abuse of trust. So there are different ways of categorizing theft.
And, you know, we always ask this question, right? Like, can people be brought to justice? Can something actually happen for closure? What factors determine whether or not robbers or burglars can be found and brought to justice, and if stolen items ever get returned to their owners?
It depends on trace evidence. It depends on the shelf life of evidence. What are the investigation procedures, court procedures, what is available, how much cooperation is given by the victims, a lot of factors. It is very important for victims do not clean their property before calling the police. Don't even touch whatever is inside the house or the property because it might contaminate evidence. You see, unless the offenders are apprehended quickly, and yes, there have been cases where this has been done, it is not likely that the stolen items are returned to their owners. For example, sometimes gangs rob several premises, several homes. So let's say, for example, they rob 6 properties within a night. So if the police come and catch them and get the evidence from them, it's very difficult to trace back the ownership of money, jewelry, and other subjects.
Do you have any tips to share when it comes to increasing home security?
Regarding home security, some people opt to buy fake CCTV. It doesn't actually work. You need to properly invest in home security that has been proven to be effective. So people should actually do research on what works and what does not work. Just because it appears to work in one place, it may not be appropriate for your place. Easy things would be improve street lighting. Reduce the amount of trees and shrubs surrounding the house. It's not a good idea, for example, to have very high walls. Perhaps the homeowners think about safety in terms of privacy, but when you have very high walls, once the criminal gets onto the property, then no one knows that the criminal is actually there. So target hardening would be, for example, making things inside the property less attractive to the would-be criminals. Make it less easy for them to detect where the valuables are. Some people would place vanity tables next to windows. So once the window is open, the criminal just reaches in and takes whatever is on the vanity table. Some people would leave their car keys next to the front door. This makes it very easy for the robber or even the burglar to just take the car key and go with it. Many people believe that it should be the job of police to ensure security and safety of their neighborhood. But if the person at home is not even responsible for taking care of his or her own personalities, safety, for example, some personalities are antisocial to begin with or having very high ego, they think they're safe. Well, until a crime occurs and actually happens, you can't say that. This is actually a fallacy. It's a false sense of security because robbery and burglary can happen at any time to anyone.
And what should you do if you or your family members are at home during a break-in?
The first important thing, if you find yourself or family member on a premise or in a premise that is targeted, safety first. That's number one. Don't try to be a hero. You may think that you can get away with, fighting the offender or the criminal. But my team's research have clearly shown that robbers in particular are very aggressive. There is a very high likelihood of the victim suffering some form of harm. Because when robbers commit the crime, they come in with some form of weapon. Burglars may use something in the property as a potential weapon. So you're very likely to suffer some form of harm, even in some cases whereby not only property stolen, but the victim is unfortunately murdered at the same time. So safety first, that's number one. Two, if there is something fishy, something suspicious going on, make a police report. Call the police. Wake up someone in the vicinity so there'll be more people aware of what is going on. Even it may be something simple like a sound, and you think that, it's nothing. There's nothing wrong in calling the police because it's their job to act on your suspicions. As long as you have reasonable worry, then call them. Don't be a hero and decide to tackle it on your own.
Dr. Gashina, thanks for speaking with us. That was Associate Professor Dr. Gashina Ayumatsaat, a forensic science lecturer at USM, giving us some just really good practical tips on what to do about home security and home safety, especially in the face of robberies and burglaries. And we've actually been asking you for your tips as well. What do you do in order to safeguard your valuables? What do you do in order to keep your home safe? If you were to follow advice from former burglars in the United Kingdom, you would put your stuff in cereal boxes and DVD boxes. Is that something that you do? Call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and also tweet us at BFM Radio.
We have a WhatsApp from Alwin who says, my house got broken into during Chinese New Year a few years back. They took my parents' security chest and all our Apple products. No Windows PC were taken or TV, camera, except my GoPro. But I did hide my cash in some old box containers, which was safe.
Sorry that happened, Alwin, but also what a searing indictment of Windows PCs. There's
like value in them, apparently.
Yeah. And it's actually just a very weird experience to come back. I mean, aside from just your stuff being taken, there's also a serious feeling of, violation.
You don't even feel safe in your own home.
Yeah. And so I think listening to Dr. Gashwina earlier, just hearing how you could try to prevent that, hearing how you could try and just prevent that from ever happening actually was quite reassuring in its own way.
Yeah, it is. And, sometimes it is also learning how to deal with it, even if you've taken all the measures you think you could possibly take, the post-treatment of that, right? If you've been robbed or something, the first thing intuitively you want to do is try to reclaim that space for yourself, and that's in cleaning up. But as Dr. Gashina said, that's not the first thing you should be doing, because you want to make sure that evidence is still kept on the scene and that you can make a proper police report.
And there's also the idea that when your house gets broken into, you don't know what else that you've lost. Like some things you do notice immediately, but some smaller things, like maybe you left your cash in an old book somewhere that you've forgotten, you don't even know it's gone missing. So there's just so many valuable items that you hide everywhere, which, just don't know if you lost it as well.
Arisawan on Twitter says, cash in the freezer, wrapped in a newspaper, ziplocked. Learned this from a novel I read.
I heard this tip from someone else earlier also, and I'm actually wishing that, those fake food displays that they have at all those stalls in restaurants and all that, it would work so well if they also worked as piggy banks, or like little slip-ins where you can maybe put your passport or like cash in the freezer, for example.
We have a question here from a listener who says, is it legal to set up traps in the household as a defensive act against break-ins in Malaysia? And unfortunately, we didn't get to ask Dr. Gashwina that question.
Yeah.
Although I do I just have a couple of thoughts, and one is I do wonder what the boundaries are. You know, if you come to my house and you just fall down the stairs because you're attempting to rob me in the dark, like I don't know what the avenues are for you there. I don't know if they would exist. And the other thing is also the fear, I think, in setting up traps in your house is what if you hurt yourself?
Yeah.
Because after all, homes are dark at night. You know, it's just one of those things.
And what is the degree of injury that may count against you if you do set up traps? And or does it count as self-defense?
I suppose that's something that we're going to have to put to a legal expert, like somebody who can actually answer that. Sorry about that. We didn't see that till it was too late. Mm-hmm. We also have a message that says, hopefully no would-be robbers would be listening to this. And yes.
Fingers crossed they aren't, but... I'm hoping it's not like a flat out strategy. Not everyone's going to hide their cash in the freezers or like old box containers. Or I guess they won't necessarily be, how would you say, they won't necessarily be looking in those places intuitively anyway, hopefully.
I think it's a time thing. It's a time thing. Yeah. Like when you're going into a space, you only have a certain amount of time before you're found out, right? So logically, you're just going to go to the usual spots. Although, yes, you're absolutely right. Hopefully, we're not just opening things up to people and, you know, giving them like pointing red arrows. Look here now. Give us your best security tips. What do you do to keep your home and your valuables safe? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
We have a very simple answer from Kevin, which just says, I locked the front door following with a facepalm emoji.
Would that it were enough. I really wish that were enough. I think most of us have that situation where you lock the front door, you triple lock the front door, you do all sorts of things, and yet people get in.
Yeah, we have grills all over. We have it on our front doors, our back doors, our windows. Sometimes that just really isn't enough to keep the thieves away.
Yeah, because I read an article by this crime specialist guy, and he was like, you got to also make sure the padlock that you use for your grill is not on the outside, because that indicates that, you know, you were locking it when you were leaving the house. Instead, lock it from the inside. So that shows that you are in the house. That can help to deter thieves.
So many small things. Chan says, I can't stress enough the tip to call the police for help. Don't be shy. A few years ago, we heard weird sounds downstairs. Suddenly the power went out. We were scared. We called the cops. When they arrived and found out that it was a false alarm, the police were so understanding and encouraged us to call them if it happens again in the future. Please do call for help if you have enough reason to raise suspicion.
I think that's one of the reasons why people may hesitate to call, because they're afraid that if they do call and it's a false alarm, then it counts as like wasting police time.
And that you might be charged for, well, not really charged, and this is not true, that you might be fake charged for like making a false news report. And this actually goes the same with making a call to the bomber too. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you need assistance with, like, I've had a snake in my house before, they couldn't find it at the end, who knows where that is, but they were still very understanding that, oh, it's okay, maybe the snake just left the house. So it's okay, it's the good that you still called this.
So there may be a snake still in your house. That's the message that I've received from that story.
Oh yeah, there may still be a snake in my house. I don't know where it is, because he sneaked off to under the fridge. We don't know where it is. I have a feeling it sneaked out. But now we have like something under the back door that prevents little creatures from coming in.
Fair enough. We have a couple of messages here that are very common sense and also just kind of sad that it has to be said. I've heard about robbers getting angry and proceeding to harm victims when they've not gotten enough valuables. Maybe it's better to let some of the cash be found and only hide the extreme valuables. Julian says the same. The problem with concealing cash and valuables is that robbers can get violent if they don't get much. And it's so unfortunate that the minute I read that, I thought, well, that's true. But that shouldn't be the way we function, right? Like, we should just assume that we are safe at the best of times. But instead, we have to kind of think about these levels, these different levels of safety.
Yeah, it's like, it's strange that we even have to prep this much, right? Like, I wish we could think and be as simple as just locking the front door and then no one really comes in and steals whatever. And if they don't have enough, they'll come by and then when they do rob you, they get angry at you and try to hurt you because you don't give them enough. I wish it was just much simpler and not as complex as this.
And then Iz says, the best way to enhance security at home is to set up a community policing with your neighbours and resident associations. This ensures security because all eyes are assisting to monitor the situation and safety of your residents. And that makes sense also because everybody is equally invested.
Yeah, though that changes depending on where you live. I think it is, for some reason, a bit harder when you live in apartments. It's easiest for some reason to get to know your neighbors if you live on landed property. In my case, my home, when I was living in an apartment, that was robbed despite being around so many neighbors because they were able to pose as repairmen and they didn't think to just report it to the police because nothing seemed suspicious.
Yeah, and in some situations in like housing communities, they do ask you to pay a certain fee every month so they can hire guards and make it a guarded community. But not all the residents in that community pay. So as a result, you get like guards sitting under a pondo or some simple umbrella with a chair, and that doesn't help very much with the security of the neighborhood, and not even enough guards to patrol the area. So if you do want to have a community-based security, everyone needs to chip in.
That is my taman.
My taman also.
Yes, we have a guard. Everybody has chipped in. We got robbed under that guard. So, you know, it's very difficult. I mean, whenever we talk about these things, if you start layering on personal responsibility, community responsibility, and after all that, you still get robbed, you really start to look around and think, I don't know what else I could have done in this situation. But yeah, that's why we're opening it up for tips. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, 5:53 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And we've been talking about safety for this hour, specifically home safety. What do you do with your valuables? What do you do to just try to keep safe in this wild, crazy world in which we live? And we've been asking you for tips. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have a WhatsApp here from Nini.
2 days before our old house was burgled, my sister had a strong feeling and told me to leave some money in ang paos for them. Our house was robbed during that rainy day. Her foreign currencies in ang paos, laptop, jewelry, my camera, etc. But three of my small dogs and our passports were untouched. They came when we were at work and returned home late, probably marked our schedule. That time we had two dogs only, the back door was wide open, and my dogs hid under the sofa, lost their voices from over barking.
Oh, bless.
Oh, poor things.
My dogs were found roaming the playground.
Oh.
They just let them out, and like, I have no idea what Nini, at least your dogs barked. Like, I have no idea what my dum-dums did. I'm not sure what they did to actually prevent the house from getting burgled, but there it is. I mean, and that's a sadly common story, I think.
Yeah, and it's also that they sort of memorize your schedule. So usually they stake out houses for quite long periods of time, sometimes up to 2 months, sometimes even longer, just to get a feel of when you come back. And because of work, because of everything, our schedules are more or less very very inflexible. So we stick to that. Unless you work from home, then it looks as if like you're home all the time. Then I guess you're less likely to be robbed then.
And sometimes they look in your trash as well. So if there's a newly opened TV box, so they know you've got a new TV. So they paint a target on you already.
So much of this show is more frightening than I'd like it to be. MZ says, my plan to move to another country.
They can't steal from you if you're not there.
There you go.
There are burglars everywhere, my friend.
And then Jason says, my house got broken into once. The robber slowly worked to unscrew the grill for a few days and eventually came in. He didn't get anything, but my mom found out her newly bought can of lozenges was missing.
Hey, unscrewing the grill, it's hard work. You've eventually feel thirsty and you probably have to just clear your throat.
I mean, but that just goes to show you that in terms of safety measures that we have to take, right, it's varied, and I think there needs to be a certain level of, up and until we get to the point where our country is just a safer place to be, the level of things that we need to do, thoughts that we need to have in terms of trying to ensure that our houses are safe. It just goes to show you there's so many. Who is taking the time to like creep up every day at 4 a.m. and slowly? And it's just, wow.
Yeah, it depends on your luck, really, how determined that burglar is to get the stuff in your house. I mean, you could do all these measures, but, you know, if that person is really determined to get in, then I guess they will find a way.
It's such an unsatisfactory thing to hear, isn't it? That it's about luck. I mean, it's true. I know where you're coming from, but it's just so boof. Anne says, how many guards at the residential area will actually fight off robbers on behalf of you and risk their own personal safety?
Depends on how many of you pay the security bills, I guess.
I think it also, it's more likely that the security guards function as a deterrent, right? I think as opposed to people that you're actually expecting to throw themselves in the line of fire.
And the most that they have is a baton, which, you know, not really effective if the person has like a gun or a parang or something.
We have a message here from Manu who says, interesting, I live in Klang and park my car outside a landed property. There were a number of times where I forgot to lock the car, but I haven't had anything stolen or damaged yet in Klang for 30 years now.
And that, I think, speaks to your point, Ayman, about luck. Yeah, because that's really all it is.
Because I've heard of stories where their cars are parked in their porches, but then they forget to lock it. The next morning they wake up, they find that the shoes and the touch-and-go card they've stored in their cars have just gone missing.
But the car is still there.
The car is still there.
They just take the shoes.
Yeah.
And I think we've got a really interesting message here from JC.
Giving up a certain amount of cash to douse the anger of robbers is, for me, considered we're at the brink of just redo je lah. A simple psychological question. If you are given the allowance without repercussion to do or force your way to get things, in this case more money or loot, what are the chances of you doing it again or even improvising your forceful act? I say it's rather high. I just find that we're being so kind and tak apa attitude towards crimes like burglary and theft. A civilian can lock, hide, put blaring alarms and maybe self-defend the property. But when criminals know they can probably escape with minor punishment or even more commonly getting away with it, they know they're near untouchable. My house got broken into via the roof. Police came and just said, "Ala biasa lah, tak boleh buat apa."
Oh my God.
That is exactly the reaction of the police who came to my house as well. And I don't mean to indicate that this is anything to do with the police at large, you know, but the ones that I personally had interaction with, they just told us, make your peace with it. You have insurance, you're good. Okay. Because seriously, it's very unlikely you will ever get anything back. So there you go. And I agree that this is a fact of life. Let's just make do kind of way of thinking here, that I think we need to investigate a bit more and kind of look into like what else can we be doing, because surely this can't be it.
Yeah, and I guess then there's just another point there about the desperation in which, I mean, I'm not siding with people who do these things, but there is a strange, you know, question to why are so many people engaging in this, right, in this sort of activity? Do they not have enough to live on? Do they not have enough money? Why are they resorting to such activities? Maybe there is just a need to focus on low wages in a country, for example.
Yeah, that could help.
Send those thoughts through. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and call 7733-2900. We'll be back to continue this conversation and also lots more after the 6 o'clock news. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.